Well, we are on the fourth purpose of the series, What on Earth Am I Here For? And if you've been following along in the book, man, that's great. I hope that you're plugging in as we do 40 days of purpose. But today, we're talking about the fact that we were shaped for serving, that God called us and created us to serve. You know, you are never more like Jesus when you serve. There's two things that you're never more like Jesus: when you suffer and when you serve. And nobody really likes either one of those, but the truth of the matter is that we were created to serve. In fact, when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, he put them there to tend and to keep. And they were serving his purpose and their own at the same time in keeping the place that God had for them. So I want to talk about the who, the how, and the what of what serving is like. So let's just jump right in. Who are we shaped to serve? Well, we're shaped to serve, first of all, God, because he's our creator. He's our designer. He knows the plan for our lives. And when we connect with him, he begins to reveal who he is and he reveals who we are. And at the core, we are called to serve because Jesus served. Last week was all about, you know, we were created to be like Christ. You know, Jesus said the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We were created to serve, and we're created to serve God, but we're also created to serve other people. We're called to serve. That's what Jesus did. The creator of the universe came to this earth and he said, hold on, I'm not here to be served. I'm here to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Think about that. The God of creation came to his creation and said, I'm not here to be served. I want to serve you. Why did he do that? To break the curse of sin. Sure, of course. To lay down his life and show us that true life is to be had through serving him by serving others and laying down our life for each other. Actually, the Bible even says no greater love than one has for another than to lay down his life for his brother. We're called to serve God and people. That's the who. Now let's get into the juggernaut of how are we called to serve? Well, I've got three simple principles. We're going to talk about the practicals after this, like what does that practically look like? But we've got the who, God and others. That's who we're called to serve. That's pretty simple. Two things, God, other people. That's pretty big, though. How are we called to serve? Well, here's number one. We are called to serve by embracing servitude. We are called to live a life of servitude as a servant. It sounds really like, oh, simple, right? So here's what I've seen. I've seen a lot of people. Let me just put it this way. How about this? It is possible to live your whole life serving in church without ever having been a servant. Because you do it, but it's the heart that matters. It's the how we do it, that we are called to serve, to be bond servants. Mark 10:45 says, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. Am I in my heart laying down my life for other people? Do you serve with a smile that's authentic and real because you love to serve God and serve people? Do you have a heart that embraces servitude to the degree that you know that when you serve other people, you're serving God, and that you serve God by serving other people? Are you wanting to be served? Listen, on some level, we all want that. Baby, where the dinner at? Come on, where's it at? Can you hurry it up? We're looking to be served. Man, geez Louise, can somebody in line at Sam's gas station please like not be on your phone, like pay attention? Like, come on, move it. Like, why don't you stop dealing with whatever you're dealing with and just get the thing, like, Are you being a servant and helping? Or are you looking for your own interests? We're not called to look after our interest at the expense of others. We're called to serve others and trust God that He's going to supply all of our needs according to His riches in Christ's glory. That's Philippians 4:19. And all of this is a heart issue. How are we called to serve? With a heart of servitude. That means I view myself as a servant. Listen, that's hard. That's hard. How do you know if you're doing that? Maybe it's easier to know if you're not doing that. How do you know if you are passing the test of servitude? How do you know? I think I'm a pretty good servant. How do I know? Here's how you know. How do you respond when people treat you like a servant? That's a big one. I'm kind of embarrassed because I haven't always had that heart at every moment. In fact, I found out through a really terrible circumstance that my wife will on occasion remind me of, because I was definitely not acting like a servant, but I didn't know it. But at hotels, they always have extra rooms. They call them screamer rooms for people that freak out at somebody who's working behind the counter. It's been a long, long time since that's happened, and it only happened once. But I remember when I was looking out for my interest, and my heart was so wrong in that moment. Do I have a heart of servitude? Do I embrace it? Here's the thing. I want you to operate in your gifting. And if you're going through the book, you know that God shaped us to serve and He gifted us. And one of the really cool things we do at our church is that we encourage everybody to go through spiritual gifts discovery, to discover how God's wired you so that you can serve in a place that brings fulfillment. And I want that for you. And God uses you in the areas that you're wired, but that's because it's fulfilling. Like, I loved playing on worship teams because that's part of how I was wired as a musician. There's a fulfillment that takes place. But don't think that servitude is all about you being fulfilled. It is wonderful to give, but servitude is not simply about you plugging into serving others in the place of your gifting and your calling. See, a servant isn't worried about whether, like, they're gifted or called. They're worried about what the need is. Because the heart of servitude serves anywhere where there's a need. I've done a lot of things in ministry. I grew up in the church. I grew up serving even when I was in high school and then in college. My wife and I served together, volunteered, and then I came on staff. And I've had people ask me, what do you think's the most impactful thing that you've ever done? I say two things almost exclusively. Number one was in children's ministry. Man, I loved kids' ministry, raising up leaders, kid leaders. We could take 150 kids in a room with me and my wife, and our fifth and sixth graders could run the whole service, imparting that to them. Working with the worship team that was all kids, and many of them are professional musicians now, which is kind of cool. That was one. But here was the other, and I think it's probably the greater thing. Spent a lot of time cleaning. I was a janitor, too, in a nasty old facility, cleaning toilets. They had one, this may be a little too much information, and I hated it, but they had this really big, nasty old trough in the men's restroom, and it was left over from the church, from the honky-tonk, because that's where we were meeting in. And the Lord taught me a lot through that. Servitude isn't about you being fulfilled. It's about you fulfilling a need. That's servitude. Do you have that heart? How are we to serve? Embrace servitude. Here's the second thing. We have to understand stewardship. We have to understand stewardship. God's called us to be stewards, and He takes that very seriously. In other words, how do you serve the people and place around you? How do you serve? I'm going to read out of Matthew 25, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by a story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants, entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Then he left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant who 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. And after a long time, the master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted five bags of silver came forward with five more and said, "Master, you gave me five bags to invest. I've earned you five more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received two bags came forward and said, "Master, you gave me two bags of silver to invest, and I've earned two more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with one bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops where you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid." Look at that. He was fearful. "I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops and didn't plant and gathered where I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from the servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. And they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even with what little they have, it will be taken away." Do I understand that I'm called to be a steward of what I've been given? And in everything I do, serve the Lord. It's a big deal. God's very serious about that. That should be... For me, it's very sobering to know that I am a steward of what he's given me. And in everything that I do, I'm going to give an account. See, the heart of servitude realizes that we're called to fulfill a need, but that everything that we are called to in this temporary assignment is part of what God created us to do in serving him. How do I handle my wife, my children, my parents, my friendships, my finances, my physical resources, my physical body? Am I a good servant to the Lord with what he's put in my hand? Because he's called me to grow. He's called me to increase. And he's called you to do the same thing. You see, you were shaped for serving God. And the byproduct of that, when you give yourself to it with a heart to serve in every area, serving the Lord in everything you do, is that you will grow in every area. You'll become more spiritually healthy. You'll become more mentally disciplined. Your physical body may end up looking different. You'll handle your physical resources and the relationships you have with a tremendous intentionality, because you recognize that when Jesus comes back, or when you stand before him in heaven, you're going to give an account. This is sobering, but it's also wonderful to know that when you do what you know you're supposed to do with what you've been giving, that is such a great feeling, and that is apart from your spiritual gifting. When you pair that with the areas where God's gifted you and you serve in that, as well as the other areas where you need to serve because there is a need, wow, it's awesome. How are you to serve? Embracing servitude, understanding stewardship, and here's the third thing. Accepting our weakness. Accepting our weakness, because the reality is that we have to fight our flesh. We have to fight a crazy world, and realize that actually the Bible tells us in our weakness, he's strong. In fact, let's look at 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10, Paul's just been writing to the Corinthian church about this thorn in his flesh. Theologians believe that it may have been his eyesight that was failing, or maybe he had a speech impediment. There was something physical that he said was a thorn in his flesh, and that he'd asked three times, "God, take it away, take it away." He said, "So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh." It's his weakness. "A messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times," verse 8, "I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, 'My grace is all you need.'" My power, look at this, my power works best in weakness. So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh. I know we hate our areas of weakness, but when we surrender them to the Lord and we recognize, wow, I am weak here, it is there that God uses us in His strength. I've got to accept my weakness. I don't need to hate it. I need to surrender it to the Lord. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness. In other words, he's saying, yeah, I'm weak, but God still uses me. In fact, it's His power that's even more powerful in me because in my weakness, He's strong. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, and the trouble that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. That's kind of crazy and backwards, isn't it? It's kind of like somebody saying, maybe Jesus, if you want to be the first, you should be the last. If you want to be the master of all, you should be the servant of all. See, sometimes it's backwards, and we think, no weakness, I'm a strong man, I'm a strong woman. Listen, we all have our strengths. But if we live by our strengths, they'll become our greatest weakness because it'll be pride. And that's what the Bible says goes before a fall. But when we can accept the fact that we have weaknesses and we submit them and surrender them to the Lord, He works through our weaknesses. This is how we're to serve. We have to embrace servitude. How do you respond when people treat you like a servant? That ought to tell you an awful lot about your heart. We have to understand stewardship, that everything around us, we're called to be stewards of, servants of the Most High God, and accept our weakness. So, here's my question to you. Where are you serving? Who are you serving? And how are you serving? Because my heart for you is to pass the test of servitude. I recently was with a young man who was going through a really difficult season, and he was about to go to a program. And I said, what do you want, man? What do you want out of that? He said, I want to be free. I said, great. Then you go there and you serve your heart out. Serve your heart out. In fact, go there and whoever's in authority, you don't even have to think. You just have to do what they say. Listen to that godly voice that's speaking to you. See, here's the truth for all of us that we can apply out of that. That's how our walk with the Lord should be. We don't have to think about everything. Listen, I'm a deep thinker, and I'm not saying don't think. I'm saying that at some point you need to shut off your mind, recognize your weakness, and surrender to the word and the will of the Lord in serving the people and the place around you, and knowing that when you do that, you're serving Him. So, the end. Are you serving the Lord? And this message has been convicting to me because I felt like I've always had a servant's heart. And the truth is, I think that's my heart, and I have it many times. But we've constantly got to be in check and say, Lord, am I stewarding and serving in every area of my life? And maybe this is convicting to you, and you need just to pray a prayer of repentance. You've made it about you, maybe even in one area or maybe a bunch. Let's just pray together. Say, dear Lord, please forgive me for doing things my way. Help me to remember how much you loved me. You gave. For God so loved the world that He gave, that you came to this earth, to your creation, and you gave. Lord, may I give everything to you. May my heart be a servant's heart to tend and to keep the world that you've placed me in right around me. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray that you keep growing, that you develop that servant's heart, you walk by His word and His way. See you soon. God bless.